offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center. The Three Faces of God, Part 3. And so we've been exploring the three faces of God as described to us by Ken Wilber in his work, Integral Spirituality. And in this work, he describes the three faces of God as God is as the three persons in our English language, making it very easy, if we're familiar with grammar, to wrap our arms around this idea. The first face of God is the innermost God, the God within, the great I am. It's what our music team was singing about. It's what Deborah led us in meditation about, the God within, the I. And then the second face of God is you. And that is the intimate God that we explored last week. God as beloved other, friend, intimate. And then the third face of God that we explored is God in the third person, and that's infinite God, God in the heavens, the great web of life. And so as we are exploring these three faces of God, we are keeping in mind the description by Ken Wilber that he discovered that most religions embrace one or two faces of God to the exclusion of the others. And that truly all three are not only correct, they are vitally important to our spiritual wholeness. The third face of God we explored, and we learned that that is the most comfortable for most of Christianity. It may be what we grew up with. It's the most comfortable for Westerners, and that is the infinite God, universal mind. God is all knowledge, as principle, but not as personal. God always present, God out there. And the one word that we looked at to describe this third face of God was reflection. And we explored how we could use reflection more in our lives. Reflection, sitting in awe and wonder of nature, of music, of art, and honoring the God that we see, the intelligence of nature, the creativity, the ingenuity. And then when we explored the second face of God, we learned that this is the least comfortable for many Christians and most Westerners, and that was modeled for us last week through a skit by Aaron and Mary Ellen, thank you again, on how we're okay talking about infinite God with perfect strangers, but when they start talking about their conversations with Jesus, we start to back up a little bit, start to get a little uneasy. And yet, this intimate, beloved other is integral to our own spirituality. And perhaps our discomfort comes because it is so personal. And as we looked at last week, perhaps the discomfort comes because we want to celebrate our sameness. And when it comes to what our mind outpictures for the beloved other, it's going to be different for each one of us. It's a different picture. And so we allow ourselves to move through any discomfort. And we looked at this being devotional, being in that space of devotion. And we reviewed the five steps of devotional that were outlined by Paul Smith, who has a book coming out next month. Is Your Great Big Enough, Close Enough, You Enough? Jesus and the Three Faces of God. And those five steps are to welcome the presence, to set the intention and welcome the presence of the beloved other. And then to connect heart to heart, to cross that threshold of devotional. And then to sit in awareness, being aware of this beloved other that you have invited, and aware that the beloved other is aware of you. Then the fourth step, to communicate back and forth, have a conversation Have a conversation in your mind or aloud. And then the fifth step being to rest in infinite being, to rest in the beauty of that experience of connection. And so that is the second face of God. Today we're exploring the first face of God, the innermost God. This is the world of new thought. This is the home of formulas mysticism. This is the world we know and love. This is what brought most of us to unity. To hear the words that God is with us, within us, always has been, and that any sense of separation that we ever felt was our own mind being unaware of the connection. That still brings tears to know that God is that present within us. And so what is mysticism? Mysticism is simply that intimate experience, communication with God. So we're all mystics, everybody in this room. Most people in the world who have spent time in prayer and meditation have had that experience of feeling the oneness with God. And so the idea came up as new thought. So where did that come from? Well, in the early 1800s, there was a movement. It was the American Transcendentalist Movement. It was led by Ralph Waldo Emerson, who came from a very religious family and at one time was a Unitarian minister. And this movement came up in part because of being in conflict or opposition to what was prevalent in our society at that time, and that was the Puritan movement. The Puritan movement was very strict doctrine, very strict moral code. Everyone was a sinner, and everyone was unworthy. And so there are many aspects of the Transcendentalism movement, but the primary precept was that the Transcendentalists believe each person and every living being possessed within them goodness and inherent knowledge, right here. Inherent goodness. That sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Well, this movement was very much informed by, influenced by, the ancient Hindu Upanishads. The Upanishads were an oral teaching and then written about 800 years before Jesus, 300 years before Buddha. Buddha was a Hindu. And the Upanishads state, when it talks about creativity, that you are that. Thou art that. And so this Hindu belief is the very intention that every living being has within them the ability to find truth through their own personal striving. Their own personal striving. And then there was the second wave in the late 1800s and the beginning of the 1900s of the Transcendentalism movement, and that included Emma Curtis Hopkins, the teacher of all teachers. It included Myrtle and Charles Fillmore, the co-founders of Unity. And they were so impressed with the works and the teachings of Ralph Waldo Emerson that their second child, Rickert Fillmore, who designed Unity Village, the architecture of Unity Village, his full name is Waldo Rickert Fillmore. And then there came Ernest Holmes. So it's all part of that same movement. So it wasn't a new thought at all. It was a rethought, for the teachings are ancient. The teachings are truly ancient. Ancient. We find in Scripture these same teachings. When we look at the mystical and rich inner teachings of the Gospels of John and Thomas. These teach of that true inner God, the true inner goodness, the God within. And so we turn to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, the 10th verse. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Father who dwells in me does his works. Some would say, well, that's Jesus, and Jesus is special. Jesus is the great exception. We say in unity, he's a great example. And when we turn to the Gospel of Thomas, we find teachings that support that. And some of you may say, I'm not familiar with the Gospel of Thomas. It's because you won't find it in the Bible. The Gospel of Thomas was among those teachings that were found in the... going to not remember the name. Denny Hamadi. Would you repeat that? Nag Hammadi, thank you. Nag Hammadi, Egypt, the Nag Hammadi Library. And most of these were Gnostic teachings. The Gospel of Thomas was unique in that it did not describe the life of Jesus like most of the Gospels. It is 114 sayings attributed to Jesus, many of which are found in the other Gospels, but most of which are not. They are very forthright teachings. They are precepts. They're not clouded by parable. You don't have to try to figure them out. As far as being able to date these teachings, they appear to be written in about the same time frame between 40 years and 140 years after the time of Jesus. It's hard to date. Historians can't date something very accurately that doesn't mention who is ruling at the time or what's going on in the social life. So it's about the same time frame as the other Gospels. So from the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus says, if those who lead you say to you, look, the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will precede you. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fishes will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you and outside of you. The kingdom is inside of you and outside of you. You can't get much more direct than that. And then we have our more modern-day mystics. From Teresa of Avila, we've heard from her before, 16th century, Spanish mystic, Roman Catholic saint, and Carmelite nun. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. And from Osho, a 20th century Indian guru, don't look for God in the sky, look for God within your own body. 13th century German theologian, philosopher, and mystic Meister Eckhart. The eye with which I see God is the same eye with which God sees me. He also said, the knower and the known are one. Simple people imagine that they should see God as if he stood there and they here, but that is not so. God and I, we are one in knowledge. And lastly, from Meister Eckhart, God expects but one thing of you. Let God be God in you. Let God be God in you. And so if the spiritual tools we used for the third face of God was reflection, and the spiritual tools we used for the second face of God is devotional, what tools do we embrace for the first face of God? Well, within unity, we have two. The first is affirmative prayer. The great I am. Those statements that we affirm the truth of our being regardless of what's going on in the material world. I am wholeness. I am complete. I am love. I am loved. I am abundant. Those I am statements. And the second tool that is so near and dear to us in unity is meditation. Meditation, where we take time to go within, to release all of our attachments from the distractions of the world, and to connect with that inner being of who we are. These two tools are so important. They're critical to our continuing the understanding and the expressing of the divine nature within us. Now, when you came in today, you received a little handout on centering prayer. And if you didn't get one when you came in, you can get one on your way out. Handout on centering prayer. This is really meditation. It's drawn from an ancient prayer practice of the contemplative heritage, and it was reintroduced in the 1970s by three Trappist monks, the most well-known being the abbot Thomas Keating. And so these are step-by-step directions to use centering prayer as a meditation process. The first is to settle down, to sit comfortably, whatever that means for you. You don't have to get in a certain position. It's whatever that means for you. Turn our attention to the presence of God. For this time is a pure gift, a gift to us of the presence of love itself. And then abide in this presence quietly and attentively. And to use a simple word to keep yourself in that space. Whatever word you desire, it could be Jesus, Abba, friend, grandfather. Whatever word works for you. And let that word be there and simply repeat that word. And then if you become aware of a thought coming up that is not that word, no judgment. No criticism of yourself. Simply release that and let the word gently bubble back up within you. For this is a time of the gift of the love that swells up within us. And then at the end of this time, don't jump quickly back into an activity. You might use the Lord's Prayer to come back gently. You might use Unity's Prayer for protection. You might use the words, be still and know that I am God. Whatever is precious to you to bring you back to the awareness of where you are. And then on the back of this, Eileen placed some prayer and meditation resources there for you. These are the three faces of God, the three ways that we hold God. We talk about God, we talk to God, and as God. And we know that Jesus, our elder brother and way shower, used all three. And so can we. And so this week I ask you to increase the awareness of the divine within as you continue the practices of reflection and devotion. And so it is this day. This is Reverend Debrie Toms. If you felt spiritually fed by this lesson, please feel free to hit the